現代な夢の後の何もない世の中じゃそうは愛しい思いも負けそうになるけど静止がちなイメージ。
Hello everyone, and this is our 10th reading of the Digimon Adventure novel with the English translation provided by Onkei. Today we'll be reading part 4 of chapter 3. Part 4, The Pyramid's Trap. Controlled by black cables, the one-eyed dragon warrior, which I'm pretty sure is a euphemism for something, Cyclomon, swooped down on them, grabbing a scrapped sedan with his right hand, which was of an abnormally larger size than his left. He threw it at the children. Harpoon Vulcan! Ikakumon's horn exploded the flying sedan to bits, while Meteor Wing! Bergemon unleashed a hot wind of fire from the sky. But Cyclomon's movements were fast, and even though the fire melted a couple of the scrapped cars, Cyclomon was unhurt. They were at a car junkyard that stood out all by itself in the middle of the desert. That might make it sound like it was small, but it was actually about as wide as Tokyo Dome, and a few hundred, maybe even thousands, of decommissioned cars lay stacked on top of one another. Cyclomon peered out from the shadows of the stacks, and, when he spotted an opening, jumped out saying, "Hyperheat!" and released a beam of extreme temperature. Hot, 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 hot! The attack hit Kabuterimon, who had been circling around in the air searching for Cyclomon. Losing his balance, Kabuterimon fell to the ground. But the attack had told the others where Cyclomon was located. Running lightly on top of the mountains of cars so none of them fell over, Gurumon spat blue-white flames at Cyclomon's head. Foxfire! The attack hit, but the enemy jabbed blindly out of his right hand as he fell, hitting Gurumon in the stomach. Gurumon also fell back. All of them fought desperately. However, Agumon stayed in his child form, and, although it was obvious how much he wanted to join the fight with his friends, he held back and fidgeted. When he looked at Taichi, all Taichi would do was look on as he clenched his hands into fists. Unable to take out his impatience on anything, Agumon distracted himself by stamping his feet. It was obvious to him, without saying, why Taichi was hesitating. If Agumon evolved to Skullgreymon again, that worry that was consuming Taichi so much that his self-confidence had died completely. Before all of this, Taichi had thought that everyone besides him was dragging him down. But now, he was the one doing the dragging. Although they somehow managed to take down Cyclomon, all of the Digimon who had fought were pitifully covered in wounds from the enemy's attacks. Taichi didn't join in the fight till the very end, and he couldn't meet any of their gazes. All of the children made considerate gestures towards Taichi in their own way. Yamato, Mimi, and Koshiro tried not to talk to Taichi unless it was absolutely necessary. Takeru looked like he wanted to say something, but was unable to find the right words. He had retreated to simply looking at Taichi with worry. Joe said, "It's okay. You've saved us from a lot of dangers up till now. Let's just go like this for the time being." It could have just been an act of sympathy on Joe's part, but putting it strictly, all he was doing was delaying the matter. Sora wanted in her heart to let Taichi have some peace like Yamato and the others were doing, but if Taichi didn't have at least one person around to scold him and shake him up, he would just never get back on his feet. And the only person who fit that job description was the other member of the two top formation in their soccer club, her. So thinking this, she took up the role, albeit not that enthusiastically. "Hey, Taichi." Sora approached next to Taichi, who had sat apart from everyone else and was wearing a gloomy expression. The sunset made a red shadow cast upon his face, seeming to emphasize his sorrow. "Why don't you try challenging yourself again? I know you. You'll be able to do it. I believe in you, Taichi." Even as she spoke, Sora felt like she was sprouting cliche lines out of a typical young adult movie. Taichi's answer was the one she was expecting. "Sorry, just leave me alone." "But I'm not." Saying that much, Taichi gulped back the rest of his words. If he had said any more, he felt that Sora would pity him. He thought it over some more before correcting himself. "Just don't bother with me." Even the fake smile that he had scrunched up to keep her from worrying looked pitiful. Or, no, perhaps a smile that was made from the derision directed himself. Without another word, Tai Chi sluggishly stood up and went somewhere. As she watched Tai Chi's sagged back getting smaller from view, Sora felt a pang of regret. Maybe she shouldn't have said anything after all. Koshiro was also sitting apart from everyone else, but his reason for it was different from Tai Chi's. He wanted to secretly experiment with accessing the network again. Even if it had worked the first time, the reason why he didn't tell everyone else about it right away was because he himself didn't understand why the network was down. Maybe the reason why the enemy hadn't spotted them so far was because of this break in the network. The wiser thing to do would have just been to keep away from accessing the network for a longer period of time. But now that he had his own inbox, he couldn't help but wonder excessively if someone, like Andromon or Genii, had sent an email to him. Smiling to himself about how this reminded him of the time he first started using the internet, Koshiro said to Tenemon, "All right, I'm going to dig up the ground." "Okay." A black cable was also running there. As he couldn't see the modular jack nearby, Koshiro pulled along the black cable until he found it. He blew across the sand that buried it. "All right, time to log in." Even more carefully than before, Koshiro connected his laptop to the network. The email inbox he had set up for himself, if it was still there, unerased. Thank goodness, doesn't look like we were noticed. When he checked his inbox, he saw he had one message. I wonder who it's from? The sender of the email came from someone called Nanomon. The sand in front of them flowed like a muddy stream. It was quicksand. Gohomon's marching fishes had made a raft out of their bodies, which was now carrying the children on top of the quicksand. The sand flowed in a straight line, although there were some spots where it bent into a 90-degree angle. "It's like a belt conveyor," Takeru said excitedly as he carried Tokomon in his arms. Joe was standing next to him, biting his nails. He didn't say it aloud, but the question, "What do we do if the enemy attacks us here?" was written all over his face. "We should be able to see the pyramid any moment now," Koshiro said from the seat at the front of the raft. He was staring down the path that they were taking, on the lookout. "That's where Nanomon should be." This was what had been written in Nanomon's email. "To the chosen children, I have heard much about you from the old man Genii. If you walk in a straight line west from where you are now, you will come to the river of sand. Please follow it to reach the pyramid where I can be found. P.S. I have also one crest in my possession." Koshiro had immediately gone to Sora to discuss the contents of the email with her. Sora had advised him to tell the others that Nanomon had reached Koshiro through his computer, much like how Genii had sent them the map, while omitting the part about how this had been achieved only by accessing the enemy's network. Tai Chi, Yamato, Mimi, and Takeru were disinterested in computers as Sora was. Joe might have known something about them, but Sora was sure that he would pass it off as something that was possible in this world. With that, the conference on whether or not they should go to Nanomon began. Although she expected Tai Chi to abstain from voting, he gave an assertive yes to going. He didn't explain his reason, but Sora thought that that was perhaps the word growth that Genii had mentioned that stung him, and he was looking for an opportunity to regain his confidence. Even Yamato, who she thought would disagree, joined after Tai Chi gave his vote. Takeru and Mimi also followed in his steps. There was no doubt that, in his heart, Joe wanted to be against, but he didn't seem to want to be the only one objecting because he answered evasively, "Well, if everyone else agrees." In the end, none of them were against and didn't even need to count the majority to know that they were going to see Nanomon. Later on, Sora's curiosity got the better of her, and she asked Yamato, "Why did you agree?" "Tai Chi's showing some motivation at last. I just couldn't shoot that down," Yamato replied. It appeared that even Yamato wanted Tai Chi to return to his old self. "I see it!" It was Mimi who raised her voice first, but then she continued more uncertainly. That is a pyramid, right?" The reason why her sentence ended in a question was because the shape of the pyramid was upside down from the pyramids that Mimi knew. Although they had been certain that the pyramid would be made up of piled stones or bricks, it was made up of large coloured tiles instead. Even its tiny passageway had tiles, and the clouds of sand that had come blowing in from above piled across them like a fur carpet. Seeing no footprints, it appeared that no one had come here for a very long time. A long, long, seamless line of fluorescent lights hung up on the edges, where the walls met the ceiling. And although no one was sure how it worked, the lights turned off behind them as they walked on. When the path split into a fork, only one of the paths was lit up. "I assume these lights are meant to guide us. Nanamon said there should be at the end of the lit path," Kosho explained to everyone. With its summit hidden beneath the sand, and the underside barefaced beneath the sun, which, in Egyptian mythology, would be considered sacred, most of the passageways in the pyramid naturally sloped downward. They must have been walking for about 10 minutes or so before they reached a massive steel door that was obviously made out of better materials than the cheap tiles they had seen until now. "Is this the place? Let's take a look." The steel door had a brass handle that both Taichi and Yamato tried to turn together, but it was so solid they didn't move an inch. That was as it should be, because the handle was really both a lock and a trap. Normally, if a careless intruder tried to turn it, they would be electrified by the high current that the moment they touched at the handle. But, because Nanamon knew that Taichi and the others would be coming, he had cancelled that system program beforehand. Koshiro wondered if, perhaps, there was a hidden switch somewhere, but nothing like that came up in a search. What should we do? The children racked their brains, but the answer seemed simple to the Digimon. "In other words, we just have to break it, right?" Agumon exchanged looks with the other Digimon, and all of them unleashed their attacks on it as one. They couldn't break it down after the first stroke, of course, but after their fifth try, the steel door melted like candy in the sun, creating a large hole. All along the four stone walls of the room were numbers, alphabet letters, and symbols that were lined up fully from end to end like hieroglyphics. "It's a program," Koshiro said immediately, because it was similar to what he had already seen inside of a large battery in Factorial Town. "A program? Are you sure it's not just random scribbles?" Mimi said, laughing. "It isn't. The letters themselves, they create their own energy, and the beginning was the word, as it said." Koshiro wasn't speaking anymore with his usual bluntness. An obvious note of excitement was tinged in his voice. "By the way, where is Nanamon?" Taichi asked impatiently. In a corner of the room was a single computer that had been left on, which they had assumed was how they had been receiving the emails. But no matter where they looked inside the room, a Digimon that appeared to be a Nanamon was nowhere to be seen. Only something that appeared to be a robot had been dropped carelessly in the middle of the room. A crack ran down through its glass-covered head, with one of its lights broken. From the broken one peered out a light bulb that looked like an eye bloodshot from the lack of sleep. Made up of a bundle of coral pink cable cords that made it look similar to an actual flesh and blood eye. No matter how one looked at it, it was rubbish. "Perhaps you went to the bathroom," Koshiro said, as if speaking to himself. They decided to wait for a while, but found it was also a waste of time. "I'll connect to the network and search for him," Koshiro said, moving towards the computer provided in that room. The moment he logged onto his inbox, Koshiro thought both yes and oh no at the same time. That was because he'd realized that he was supposed to be keeping the network a secret from everyone. But Koshiro had nothing to fear. No one had said anything. Frankly, it was because none of them understood exactly what Koshiro was doing. Without pause, Koshiro sent an email to Nanomon's mailing address. "We've arrived inside the pyramid, where are you?" The reply came back immediately. "I am nearby. We don't see anyone around. Could you be a little bit more specific? I am at your feet." "Our feet?" Koshiro turned. All he could see was the broken robot on the ground, whose light bulb eye facing them was blinking red. When Koshiro saw that the infrared port on the computer was blinking in response, he exclaimed, "Taichi-san, it's the robot! That robot is Nanomon!" As they exchanged emails, it was discovered that Nanamon had clear consciousness, but was unable to move as his mechanical body had been damaged. Repairing was necessary, but apparently reconnecting the mass of damaged wiring was enough. "I'll do it," Yamato volunteered, taking off his gloves. It seemed like he had practiced doing this at home. Nanamon sent written explanations and sometimes graphics to illustrate how to fix the damage, which Koshiro explained out loud in minute detail. It took about 2 to 3 hours in all. Yamato couldn't restore all of the wires, but he managed to repair enough so that Nanamon could make the minimum of movement. With a buzzing whirl, a motor revolved around his arm, and his arm's function returned first. As if testing out his recovering sensations, Nanamon flexed his three fat fingers and then used the same hand to push himself back up. "Oh, right!" the children shouted as one. Tai Chi's voice was the loudest of them all. "Now tell us, what do I do to evolve the right way?" Nanamon's response was to the point. "How the hell would I know a thing like that?" The distinguished writing style in the emails that they had been familiar with up until now clashed violently with this rude remark. "How? How you say? What's with you? Didn't Jedi ask you to help us?" "Heh heh heh." Nanamon let out a snide laugh. "I lied. I just needed a tool that would help me repair my body. That's why I called you over here."
You tricked us?"
"Yes, that's right."
"Were you lying about the crest too?"
Mimi asked. "Well, duh."
"What is it that you want?"
Yamato asked this time. "I've told you already. I wanted to regain my movement."
"What I mean is, what are you planning to do by moving?"
"Rule the world. What keeps the world moving is information. Isn't that true for your world as well? Whoever has control of information can control the world. Using only raw power like Edamon isn't enough. What's most important is using what's up here."
And Edamon tapped the clear glass of his head with a finger, as if to show how smart he was.
"It's true that I made a blunder and was almost destroyed by Edamon before being forced to act as administrator for his pals' network. They even made me create a program to upheave the order of this world. But throwing order out the window to replace it with another is not smart. It's better to turn it into chaos. If no one else can see the world to be constructed, then they won't be able to figure out what they can do to change it. There only needs to be one master who knows the truth." At this point, the children could have cared less about Nanamon's pet theory. What they wanted to know most of all was something else, and it was Sora who asked the question.
"In the end of all this, who are you to us? Our ally or enemy?"
"For the present, we are not enemies. I need indeterminate factors such as yourselves, even if all your presence does is to add confusion to the information. As long as you continue to be a threat to Edamon and his people, I will use you for my purposes, but even so, it would be a pain if you got in my way as well. So..."
Nanamon's arm stretched out, lashing tightly onto Sora's arm, who was closest to him.
"I'll be taking this girl as hostage."
What?
The Digimon readied themselves into battle at once, and they didn't get the chance to fight.
Nanamon's one covered light bulb eye glowed red, activating the switch for the pyramid's security system. In that instant, the floor dropped out from under their feet, and, judging them as garbage instead of enemies, the pyramid's security system tossed Tai Chi and the others outside.
"Alright, so I regret giving Nanamon that voice, because my throat's now very sore from doing that computer voice, and which is surprising because I was like, yeah, that'll be great, I'll just do some voices, it's fine. And then I had regrets. So, as always, thanks to Onkei for providing us with the English translations of the novel. And I'll link dumps in the description where, of course, you can find all of Onkei's translations. And a Redbubble's also in the description, and you can get more than just shirts there too. And I think they're having a Christmas sale at the moment of recording this, but I'm not sure when I'm going to be releasing this episode, so check it out anyway, I guess. Anyway, so contact us and stay updated. Email us at lostintranslationmon@gmail.com, or you can comment on this episode or message us on our website, lostintranslationmon.com. And you can also vote in polls, check release schedule, and our blog posts on the website too. You can follow us on that Translation on Twitter, and you can find us on Lost in Translation on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We have a discussion thread on With the Will and a Red thread in the Digimon subreddit. And we would appreciate if you would visit an Apple Podcast, Stitcher, and any other podcast listening app they use. Because ratings apparently help people find out about the podcast, so why not, right? You can donate to our Patreon, which is linked in the description, from as little as $1 a month. And that gets you access to a listed Discord server, but there are higher levels of more rewards, such as notes, early episodes, and more. And thank you to our current supporters on Patreon: Joe, Anime Guy, who is Anime Guy Kurosaki from the number one on YouTube, Stephen Reeves, who is WildPink64 and Archive Our Own, Kaidawashi, Chisai, who you can follow on Tumblr at Chisai236, Kyle, Tom, Lizman, who's a Lekmon on Tumblr, Nicholas, Sam, Spiral, Keith from A Computer Podcast on the Internet, Magnus, Hemi, Alex, and Luke. And you can also make a one-off donation on our PayPal, which you found in the description. It's paypal.me/edgemon. And I also have a Ko-fi account, which is ko-fi.com/edra. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye!